This is 4:55 on Friday, December 6th. But it is time to start. So, here we are, last day. What questions do you have? I have a sample exam to go over briefly, but I thought we'd just take any questions and sort of wrap up. Anybody graduating?
Hopefully.
Tomorrow's
commencement.
Yeah. Good. Congratulations. Very, very glad to hear that. I even had one person in 355 who was graduating. So, congratulations, everyone.
Is 355 a prerequisite for a couple of classes?
I'm taking
that
next semester.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some people have meant, no, it's not a prerequisite for anything that's required. So, although people normally take it as juniors. Okay, so, what? Oh, yes. So the exam is Monday morning at 8 o'clock, bright and early. And I will be here. I don't leave until right after the exam to go to Washington, D.C. So I'll be here to give the exam and collect it and answer questions if hopefully there are no questions. The proxy project is due on Wednesday. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be out of town from right after the exam until late Wednesday night. So I may not be very helpful about proxy project questions during that time. I'll try to respond by email, but often what I've found is that people have questions that really require looking at code or something like that. So,
pictures sometimes do.
What?
Sometimes pictures do, or trying to explain things.
Yeah. So, I will have an extra office hours this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So we can deal with anything then. You're certainly welcome to email me, but I can't promise that I will be able to solve problems by email in a timely way. As I said, for this one, also you must arrange with Hawk to demonstrate your project before you leave campus. Okay. Don't flit away, because if he can't run it, that's going to be a problem. So, and if you turn it in late, no later than Friday, please. In order
to, like Tuesday, right?
They're due on Wednesday.
We
have to have final grades done by the following Tuesday. So. The poor guy has to have some chance to look at the things before. So even the late ones shouldn't be any later than Friday. I think I said that on the Dropbox. What else? Any questions? Yes.
How many sheets of notes are we allowed to have for the
final? One sheet, front and back. Okay. Same as before. Some of what was on the previous ones should have sunk in a little deeper by now, I hope. Okay. So what does so as I said last time, the general structure of the final exam is that it covers everything in the course, but it covers more of the stuff. More of the exam is devoted to this stuff. Since the second exam. And as I recall, the second exam did not go through the link layer, right? It only went through the network layer. So we're talking about link layer, we're talking about wireless, we're talking about security as being the final part of the exam. And so that will be roughly 50%, no, that will be 40 to 50% of the exam, and the other will be split roughly between the stuff that was on the first two exams. I think that's all. So, Let's look at this thing.
I have some questions related to the last homework we did.
Uh-huh. Okay.
On the exam, are we going to do anything with like filter tables?
I was thinking about it.
That was the first time I remember that we did one of those.
Yes. We talked about the filter tables in class last time, and there was a homework problem about them. So you know, you should know what they look like and what they mean and how to interpret them. Okay, so sample final is posted. Try to be consistent and make sure that all the information says 8 a.m. And remember, it's for final exams, it's 8 a.m., it's not 8:10. Right? So that you have all a full 2 hours. Yeah. And then the one that's at in the 10 o'clock slot is at 10:10. And then, you know, it's complicated. But the 8 o'clock one is really 8 a.m. And we have to be gone after 2 hours because another class will be coming in. Okay. So... the hidden node problem, hidden terminal problem. The usual thing is that I say about these sample exams is they're not your study guide. They're a subset of things that could appear. But they do give you a sense of how I will ask about certain things. And for this class, this part of the class, there's a lot more about describing, writing sentences than there is about building tables or doing calculations. Although there's some of that too. You'll see that. Why are there 3 MAC addresses in 802.11 network packets? How are they used? How does public key cryptography work for signatures and encryption? Make sure that you know what private keys are and what public keys are and who has which. I think I said this before. Don't give me answers in which a party is using the private key of somebody else. That doesn't make sense. Simple test. RSA computation, this would be the only thing probably where you need a calculator, but you need to know how that works. And you probably would want to have a calculator for that.
I don't know if I've missed it in the book, but is there a clean equation for getting D?
No.
Guess and check basically.
There is an algorithm for doing it, but it's not an equation. So it's not something. But I generally don't ask you to like this example, right? Why is this a good and okay choice for E? Why is D the corresponding? Right, it's easy to check. Right, so if I ask you about it, I'll give you both of them and ask you to check it rather than figure it out. Yeah.
If there's a question like this, for some reason, for like C to the D values that were really large, the calculator just wouldn't.
No, so I won't do that to you either.
Okay. You know, breakable random keys, then smaller ones.
Oh yeah, yeah. They'll be small and they'll. They'll be in range. The other thing is okay. So, actually, I have two things to say about that. First of all, in the problem in the book, they gave a hint about that. Did you understand what that hint meant? Okay, let's talk about that. If you remember the hint.
E value less than a certain amount.
No. It said that if you have a b mod n, you could do this as a mod n times b mod n mod n. All right. So that was the hint, and how is that relevant? Okay. So suppose that you're doing 5 to the 23rd mod n. Okay? You can break this down into 5 to the 10th times 5 to the 10th times 5 to the 3rd. Okay. No, see, they didn't tell you that. They just gave this as the hint. Okay? The consequence of the hint is this. Okay, so that would have helped.
I ended up using my computer and it worked fine.
Right, so that's the second thing, is that in Python 3, all ints are big nums. All right, so it can do, if you start up a Python 3 interpreter and do a times b mod n, it'll just do it, and that's cool. Python 2, that's not true. In Python 2, you have to specifically say you want big nums. But Python 3, it's very convenient. Okay. But, like I said, I will not force you to deal with issues like that on an exam. Yeah, like, notice what I chose as the plain text. And I think at some point I chose something as the ciphertext, and it was 10, right? So powers of 10 are, you know, exceptionally easy. Doing powers of 10 mod something maybe is harder, but anyway. All right. So, you know, one of the big ideas in this class, I hope it sank in that it was a big idea, is the importance of bandwidth delay product for various purposes. So expect to see something about that. Of course, that's related to window size. To achieve good utilization, remember what utilization is, right? Percentage. This is a thinking question. I don't even know the answer to that right off the top of my head anymore. I did when I wrote it, but I'd have to think about it. Receiver's advertised window size of a TCP connection is always much smaller than what you answered for part B. Ah. I have some ideas. You need to think about it. No. No, I wouldn't take it off the review. That's the kind of thing I want you to think about during a review. Whether I actually would ever ask that question or not. Thinking about it while reviewing is a good one. Good thing. This one, 8 and 9... All right, so the point of these two questions was, did you understand a couple of things? First of all, did you understand that when you read from a TCP socket and ask for a certain amount of data, you may or may not get that amount of data? The first one is about when you send, right? Yes. So same thing. When you send a certain amount of data on a TCP socket, you may send that amount or you may send less. All right, what are you going to do about it in order to make sure that everything you wanted sent is sent? What? You need to stick it in a while loop, but that leads to the second part of the question. Do you understand the proper manipulation of the pointers to make sure that you actually send the data you want to send as opposed to the same data over and over again or something like that. Okay? So that's the issue on the sending side. Same thing on the receiving side. I mean, it's a little more obvious here, right, that you may not receive everything you wished to receive and may have to receive again, but don't forget you have to do that. What's the difference between flow control and congestion control? Okay, so what this exam doesn't have on it is anything very much about it has less sort of wireless stuff on it than probably there will be. It doesn't have as much link layer stuff. This was an exam from last time I taught the class, and the last time I taught the class, link layer was on exam two. So link layer is going to get more emphasis probably this time. All right? Other questions?
Could you go over nonces real quick?
Nonces. Okay. So, what is a nonce? A nonce is a value that is sent to prevent replay attacks. Right? So, if I'm having an interaction with somebody, and I send them some messages and they send me back some messages, there's a concern that maybe sometime later somebody else will replay those original messages. So what a nonce does is say that that I am only willing to accept a message in response to my message if it contains something that's derived from my message. Okay, and the easy way of doing that is to include a number in my message that the guy at the other end will have to somehow include in his response message. Now, of course, we do all this under cryptography so that the other folks, the Trudies of the world, can't see what we're actually exchanging. But even with cryptography, if we don't use the nonce, the messages that I've sent previously with those keys might be acceptable to me as a response. Does that get at the...
Yeah.
So a nonce is... technically, a nonce is a value that's included in a message that the receiver has to somehow include in the response. And it's used to prevent replay attacks.
The reason I was asking is there was a question on the homework that I didn't quite understand. I think I got it, but I'm not 100% sure. Because Alice sent Bob a message, and then Bob sent Alice a nonce, which she then encrypted.
Uh-huh.
And so, what does that provide? I mean, because you can still do a man in the middle again, right? Because the nonce was separate from the message, the original message.
Right.
I think that was the point of the question.
Yeah. Right, the nonce has to be part of the original message. Yeah. Other questions? Going once, going twice. Okay, well, have a great weekend. Once again, congratulations to all who are graduating, and I will see you Monday morning. Bright and early.
I have one on Monday at 8 and then another one on Friday at like 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, one in between.
What a boring week, but plenty of time to get your project done.
Yeah.